Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, O Lord, give us the ability and the wisdom to speak and to do your will on earth as we live. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There I was with family and friends. Apparently, I needed more wisdom than I had at that moment because as there was a pleasant conversation, I thought about talking about what was going on in the world. And you know, sometimes people don't want to hear what's going on in the world. They only want to hear about what is going on in their life. Okay, we're all different, but it is up to us to use a little wisdom and to speak to a person in a way that they can hear. Now, I know one thing I like to do before any conversation, I like to say a little prayer. It's so little, but I still say it. My lips move and I say, "Oh Lord, guide me." And Lord, we have the conversation coming up and I don't know what to say, but Lord, guide me. So now that's something every one of us can do. How do we bring God, Jesus, into our life and into our conversation? Well, it can be that short little prayer, or it can be a discussion about those important things like salvation and Jesus Christ. But we all need to have a little discernment of what we talk about and how we talk about it when we are with friends and family. It's all different for different people, but if we pay attention to it, the other people will pay attention to what we have to say also, because we know what interests them and how to speak about it. And maybe we don't, but we do ask God to guide and direct us as when we speak to another person. Some people will want to have a conversation about their pet fish, their pet at home, or their grandchildren, or the last episode of a soap opera. Oh, do you remember General Hospital? Well, it's not that I watched it, but I knew it was going on. And a lot of people will be happy to talk about their family and friends and what's going on, but everyone is different, and sometimes people do not want to talk about the current events that are troubling them because they get concerned. So you can take a little gentler approach, and you can talk about, oh, let's just say Tucker Carlson or something on the television, which they have, you suppose that they have seen. And anyway, it's a current event, and it's generally not too intrusive. Well, there's always something we can talk about, and not everybody wants to talk about all the things that you did, whatever they were. Oh, let's see, was it the time that you went to Alaska and you were hiking Mount Denali? And all of a sudden, a great big moose comes and chases you. Yeah, that really did happen to me. And I found out that those moose were really, really big. There was a baby about 200 feet away that, after the moose chased you could see the baby. But before that, no, didn't see it. But the point is would that interest a person to talk about something that happened 30 years ago? Would that be interesting? Or would it be interesting to talk about the social situations in the world? We all wonder about what's going on in our society and in our government. Or should I talk about my Chevy truck or the engine that I changed out of it 30 years ago? Well, everything is interesting to some people, and some others you just can't have a conversation with, and you don't know why. Some people will be interested in the travel or the terrorists. Well, I'm thinking about 40 years ago in Peru, there were the Shining Path communist guerrillas in Peru, and they were active, and they were attacking sometimes tourists and sometimes government facilities. And so is that something to talk about? Or would something like Cuba and Castro and Che Guevara, is that something to talk about? Are they interested in the revolutions that have happened and might happen here? Well, okay, there are things that everyone will talk about, and you have to search for an understanding. Well, they just want to have a 30-second summary of what happened with that gorilla movement or that moose. People are different, so remember that little prayer, Lord, guide me. And then you will find that things flow more smoothly. Well, many people are interested in all sorts of things. They're all different. It might be a car. It might be an old-growth forest, or it might be a glacier. Well, that was interesting, the Mendenhall Glacier in Alaska. Well, anyway, there are different things that will capture a person's attention, and it is up to us to engage with people so that we can continue the conversation and talk about meaningful subjects. But everybody has a different understanding of what is meaningful. Is a hairstyle meaningful to some people? Yeah. Or it might be meaningful to talk about what is happening in America and how there are criminal organizations in America active and getting more involved with the whole society and government too. Does that interest you? Everyone is different, and we all have a different way to speak to people so that we can engage with them and have some either emotional or intellectual conversation. It's always different. And people from North America are going to have a different idea about the world from the South America people or the African people or the European people. It's just all different. And how do we engage people to have a conversation? And are we going to talk about what is the most important to their eternity? God through Jesus Christ. How do we talk about that? Always different. And like I said, I'm very glad that I can say that little prayer, Lord, guide me, as we talk to so very many people. Well, we get ideas, and we can recognize the patterns of what is going on in front of us, socially, with the people around us, with the work situation, with our future that we hope and expect to have. All was different, and it's up to us to use our wisdom and our God-given guidance to know how to speak and what to speak about. Lots of possibilities, and then we speak accordingly, or we prepare accordingly for what is just a very sensible thing to do. Now, there's some people who want to hear about America right now, and there's some people who don't want to know about America. They don't want to know about the hard times. They only want to know the smooth, wonderful times that are coming and how we are all going to be blessed by God and taken out in a rapture so that we have no hard times. Well, I don't know if that happens historically or biblically, but you can always talk about it. Just add a little reality so that a person does not get surprised. That is the way it has always been in the olden days. There have been troubles, and God has walked with us through the troubles. I don't know why, but I'm just thinking of my relatives in Germany, how before the Berlin Wall went up, there were relatives who fled East Germany, or call it the East Zone. And there were a few relatives who wanted to stay in Germany where they had their ranch, their farm, their little house, their dishes, or their piano. Those are my relatives. I know them. I spoke to them. Yeah, so what if it's been 50 years? I still know them and spoke with them and had conversations. Yes, in German. Or each of us trying a little of the other language. But I do know that things do not always happen the way we want them. And when I think of Germany or East Germany or Russia, I have a much different idea because I have spoke to so many people from those countries. And I know we don't want a Soviet or a communist system to happen here in America because it impoverishes everyone. Everyone is poor. I remember going to East Germany and seeing the wonderful big government buildings, massive, wonderful stone work. And through almost all of it there in East Berlin, the buildings were bullet-pocked from World War II. The armies were fighting, and the bullets went astray. Or there was some other machine that would send explosives, and it would damage the buildings. The damage never got repaired because Russia was in charge of East Germany. And those Russian communists only wanted the resources from East Germany. They did not repair anything that had to do with the civilians or the government of East Germany. All Russia cared about was repairing the train line that took the coal from East Germany to Russia. The rail lines were always in good condition because then the coal from East Germany was not interrupted to its flow into Russia or other communist countries. That's just the way it was. And of course, we have other ideas when we don't have to see the reality of communism or of a dictatorship, and we don't have to be concerned about the poverty that went on in Cuba or South America or Africa, many places of the world that adopted a communist government or structure. They didn't concern themselves with the problems. They just had a philosophical idea that they were going to create a new sense of social order. And that was under communism. Now, if you just have the idea to say everybody is provided for whatever they need, that's what communism does. Well, it sure sounds good on paper. But once it gets into practice, you find there is so much corruption. Whether that corruption is in Germany or Russia or Czechoslovakia or Laos or Cambodia, it's corruption everywhere. In Cuba, the corruption was massive. Even in China, it was massive corruption under the communist system. When you think about what happened with Taiwan and mainland China and Chiang Kai-shek, the corruption that was there, or the corruption that followed as communism spread in China, why, you will find that people don't want to live in communist China today because they are so well aware of the communism and the faults within that society. But it's hard for us to see that when we have simply been presented with the good things about communism. We have learned from people in school that the communism is just another way of governing. Well, yes, it is, but you have to look at what effect it has on the people and the government or the social structure. It has far-reaching effects that we do not examine because we haven't experienced it unless we have been to a communist country. And then we say, oh, that's not something we want. It would never happen here. But the communist ideas are already all over society in ways that are, well, they're more gentle because it's not harsh yet, but the ideas keep developing, and you start with something just a little bit, and then it grows and grows and grows. I know about some of it because I was in that communist country of East Germany and the areas around there too, and you could see the people, or you could speak with them, and you just couldn't believe what went on. You couldn't believe that it took, if you wanted a new car, for instance, you had to pay for it and then wait the 5 to 8 years for the car to be built before it was delivered to you. That was something that went on in East Germany. Now, in Russia, the people were more prosperous because it was not a place to be taken advantage of like the eastern zone of Europe. It's just the way that the systems work. Why, even in capitalism, there are systems that take advantage of other people. And we say we want a fair system, and so we try to change it. Well, at least we can change it in the Western civilization. But in the Eastern communist countries, there really is no change because everything is controlled by a small group of people. And I don't know where people would flee nowadays if communism was widespread in the world. And that's the one thing we have to remember about America. Many people fled to America to escape communism. And they are so glad to have a place that they could escape to. The United States of America, a wonderful country. But I think I just explained how, what does it mean to flee your country of origin? It means you're not going to take with you your house or your garden or the possessions that were passed on to you by your grandparents. It's just not going to happen. So it's a matter of real discernment to figure out what you are going to do and stand for. Well, just like in life, what are you going to stand for? Are you going to stand for Christ? What if Christians are persecuted? Then what are you going to do? Are you going to stand for Christ and be persecuted? John chapter 15 says, those who are in Christ will suffer persecution. Do we accept it? Or do we say, no, 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 I only want the good stuff. Give me the blessings, God. Well, that's something you get to figure out. But I know I've seen those countries where communism is a way of life. And I've seen, I've seen the no man's land in between countries where the countries have a border, and the border is guarded by the military. And if anybody tries to leave that country, they are shot dead in what is called no man's land, and their bodies are left to rot. Now, there in, when I was there in West Germany decades ago, there were often memorials placed, and maybe a picture, maybe next to the wall, maybe on a street lamp. And so there would be a picture of the family that escaped or was now dead in no man's land, or the person who had tried to escape the East Zone to freedom in the West. And if they were shot dead, somebody would bring flowers and put a picture of them up. It was pretty common. So we get to figure out, what are we going to stand for to preserve for our children and grandchildren? Are we willing to stand up, or are we going to let the guards tell us what to do? The border guards. And now we have open borders in the United States, and so many people are crossing in for all the free stuff. And everyone is getting a little poorer and a little poorer because we are providing so much free stuff. Well, we get to figure out what will happen, but I'm telling you, it doesn't look good. If you see it doesn't look good, then it's up to you to prepare for hard times, because we could have anything going on. I think about the food plants that are getting destroyed, food facilities, the thousands of chickens or turkeys or whatever it is. Food processing plants are getting lost by the hundreds. Well, yeah, over the last few years. It doesn't just happen all in a month or a year. But there have been great destruction to the food that we need to eat. And you just kind of have to wonder, is there a plan going on here? How else could it happen? So, notably, I don't know, but well, I'm just thinking about that East German zone again, and I thought about how when people left East Germany, they left everything behind, and yes, they took their money with them, if they had a few hundred marks from East Germany. And then they would trade them into the bank, and they might get 1 mark for 100 East German marks. And then if you wanted to buy East German marks, you could probably buy a lot, like 50 of them for a dollar. And I was there with my family, you see, and I still remember my mother had traded more than $100 American and got many East German marks. And then she went into East Germany. We both did together. She was a very fluent German speaker. And so I thought years later how courageous she was to take a chance on being found out as a currency smuggler, to give the people in East Germany a great big fortune of marks. East German marks, because she brought them from West Germany, where nobody wanted East German marks. So, what a story that was. We have to have brave people in our life to do something for the sake of humanity, for the sake of God's goodness. And what are we each going to do? Are we only going to do what is safe? Or are we going to do what is righteous? Well, I better figure that one out, because I think we're going to see some changes coming for the whole world. The whole world is in the process of changing right now. Yes, some of them are changing towards freedom, and most of them are changing towards, well, let's call it authoritarianism, where there is a dictator or there is a strong government that tells the citizens what to do. Some would say that's going on in the United States right now, too. Well, we get to figure it out and see if there is anything that you want to do to prepare for whatever would happen if that were the situation. What would you do? I know I have had really quite a few talks from people who have been in communist countries. Yes, I just told you about my relatives, but I've known people that have come from the East Zone anyway. I knew, well, this was in my college days. One of the professors was a freedom fighter from Yugoslavia, and he threw Molotov cocktails at the Russian tanks that came to force peace into that nation, into that country. And he wanted freedom instead. So he fought the Soviets as best he knew how, which was to throw Molotov cocktails at the tanks. And he was so grateful to be in a country with freedom, the United States of America. And I have known people that have come from Cuba, and they escaped on a raft. And they came to America where there was freedom. Freedom is precious, and if we do not maintain it, it can easily be lost. But the biggest thing we can do is be aware of the dangers that confront us and how there are people who want to take our freedom. What can we do to stand up for God-given freedom? Well, give it some thought, because I have an idea we are going to be faced with a lot of different complexities in our future. Are we going to stand for freedom? Are we going to stand with our forefathers in the tradition of America? Or are we going to let ourselves be dominated by another political system? Sure, call it a country. Are we going to be dominated by a country? I know China wants to dominate us, and their military people have said it. But who listens? Have you heard that? Have you heard the political people in China say that they are going to threaten America and have an invasion of mainland America? It doesn't come out in the news very much, but if you listen, you will hear it. So here we are today. Is there a pattern going on? Yes, there is a pattern. It's a pattern of life where there are people who seek freedom and there are people who seek to dominate other people. Well, listen. Listen to the people around you. Hear what people say, or look in the library books. Oh, I mean the YouTube tapes. Oh, yeah. My days was the library, and I certainly spent days in the library when I was a young man. Nowadays, you can listen to the YouTube tapes. I know one that I have thought was worth listening to was about a KGB Russian defector, Yuri Bezmenov. Listen to him. He tells about his experience of being a disruptor of India, how the KGB provided him a wife and a cover story, and how his purpose in India was to disrupt that society. Now, other KGB agents are right here in America. So you can listen to current stories, or you can listen to Yuri Desmonov. That was 30 years ago when he told his story, and they posted it on YouTube. You can find it right now. Today, it's right there. But the trouble is, so many people just don't look. We are not interested enough to understand what is going on in our world to even take a half an hour to look. Or how about to read a book? And speaking of reading a book, have you read that New Testament lately? It's not that many pages. What, 280 pages in round numbers? It's not very big, and I think that each one of us could read a book that length if it was about something that was, let's say a current interest. But for many people, the New Testament is a current interest, and it reflects our relationship with God, and it reflects where we spend eternity. So, you want a good life? How about a good eternity? How about if you read that New Testament yourself? And yes, we can listen to it being read on a tape or on the radio, and that's good too. But I really think we get the most out of it if we read it with our own eyes and pause and think and try to understand the fullness of the New Testament of God's Bible that He gave us. Thank you, Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and I hope that you do read it, even if it's just a few sentences. That's what I had to do to read the Bible. Yeah, I know it was decades ago, but that's what I had to do. I had to put a marker in the Bible and just have the Bible in a place where I would see it every morning and read. Now, even if it was one sentence, just read a little bit every day. Some days it would be a number of chapters, but having it out for me to see was something that inspired me to read the Bible from cover to cover. So that's something I would suggest for anybody, and at least read the New Testament. It's a wonderful book, and it fills up your life so much to have a knowledge of God. Well, God has people in the world. God has good people in the world. And sometimes, because people are not perfect, there are people who try to follow God who really make a few mistakes. And when you get a pretty good understanding, you can understand that there are mistakes. But the point is for us to do whatever we can to follow Jesus Christ. And yes, a lot of it is having peace and love and Jesus Christ in our heart and mind. Well, that's a part of a good and godly life. And that's what we do. It gives us long-term hope and comfort. So that's something that we get when we study our Bible. And I hope that you give it some good reading, regular study. It talks about our history, our Christian history. It tells us about the future with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let every one of us have an opportunity to study our Bible, to read it, to know it, to tell others about the good news of the gospel. That's our Bible. So somehow there will be a time to tell our friends and family about Jesus Christ, and maybe we do it through the Bible. Maybe we do it through church. Maybe we do it through song. Maybe we do it in a way that just suddenly comes to our mind and we speak about it. All was different. And that's the thing about God. God is always different and speaking to us in ways that are a little bit surprising. So you just continue to make all the wise decisions that you can, where you put Jesus Christ in your life as an important part of your life, that you are ready to study, to search, and to follow Jesus Christ as you understand him through the Bible. Now that's important. Understand him through the Bible. Jesus is called the Word, and as we read the Word, we get to know Jesus Christ and the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is what we do. We search for understanding. And we read, well, there's so many things to read in the Bible. Sometimes I read the Proverbs, and sometimes it tells you about the choices that you're going to make. Sometime I read about Mystery Babylon or Babylon, Rome, and Greece, how the empires have lasted for hundreds of years, and they even influence us today. But this is all something that you have to seek out and search for understanding. Now, people have always tried to act on this or on that, whether it was a selfish thing about ego or whether it was a Christ-honoring love that people would try to give to others. The history is full of it, and even the Bible shows you about people who have succeeded and people who have failed. They have made mistakes, and we get to know them. And it's good to know that people make mistakes, because now we can know if we are headed for a mistake and what we can do to correct it before it gets to be serious. Well, that's what I think about reading the Bible. It's a good book, and I hope that you read it, and I hope that you seek to understand it. We want to make good decisions and not selfish mistakes. So the best way we can do that is to get familiar with God's Word. He shows us all of it. He shows us the wonderful people who make good decisions. And he shows us the people who really made some awful decisions. And they're all there in our holy book of Jesus Christ. So seek out understanding and realize that everything has a consequence. You want your choices to be the wonderful and godly choices in life that will bring you joy and happiness. And it's all right there. You can read, you can learn, you can do. And we all do it a little different. But let God speak to you as you pray and as you read and seek God's understanding. And then you seek to act on it in a way that shows you love God and you love his people. Pretty big thing. But that's what life is about. Now, I know there's plenty of people who want to have selfish thoughts and ways that are going to make us important people. People that are rich and famous. And there's some of them who say to the devil, if you can give me this, I will belong to you. And those stories are written about. They happened today. They happened 50 years ago or 250 years ago. And they are written about in history. You can read the stories, even today. Just a couple of years ago, there have been several who have said, I don't even like to say it, but they say they sold their souls to the devil for success. And they got success, or they got whatever it was that they craved at that time. And so they have given themselves to evil, to the devil. We can be sad about such things, but we still realize that this is a reality of life. And we have to accept that there are people like that. There are people who do everything. They do the good, they do the evil. And they're all people, and they all need God. And how do you get to know God? I think the best way is to read his work, the Bible. The Bible is God's word. Jesus is called the word. And so getting to know the Bible is getting to know Jesus. But you know what? Every one of us has decisions to make. And we need to make those decisions to stand for hope and love and truth. And that is what God will give us when we do God's will here on earth. Check it out. See if it's true or if it's not true. And then we want to... Well, there's a song that goes, Trust and Obey. Have you heard that song? Trust and Obey, because it is the only way. Oh, it goes a little bit more than that. Let me think. Trust and obey, for it is the only way. And anyway, it has to do with shouting out the goodness of God as we understand Jesus Christ. And we get to know more and more about his coming to the earth and his being present in the life of his people. And it's really wonderful to see the changes in how we can grow in goodness in Christ Jesus. And what do? We say, yes, Lord. We submit ourselves to his will. And how do you get to know his will? I think it's by reading his Bible. And we often get some understanding as we pray also. Or maybe we talk to somebody who knows Jesus. There are many ways to grow in Christ. And we have things that are certainly coming to the world. You know some of them because you can see the patterns. And we certainly want to have an understanding of what is coming so that we can stand for goodness in the world and goodness in the days to come. Now there's other people who will stand for bad things. But no, let us stand for the goodness of God. And that means we stand for the goodness of God and we stand against evil. So how are we going to do that? Well, sometimes it takes a little struggle. Sometimes it is even a life and death struggle. People die just standing up for Jesus Christ. They're called martyrs, and that has been happening by the thousands in the world. Now, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to stand for Jesus Christ in the battles that go on? Why, the battles for goodness, the battles for freedom. What are you willing to do? Do you remember there was an American Revolution? That is where people fought and died for the goodness of an American government. Now, they did not have everything perfect, but they were fighting for goodness, and they were fighting for a godly way of living. That American Civil War lasted 7 years, and there was another war that America fought for goodness and godliness. It was called the Civil War, and that lasted 4 years. It was people who were trying to live, trying to understand God and goodness and do the right thing. That's what many people are doing today. Are you doing that? Well, be prepared to, because we are coming into a time of struggle. I mean, you just look at the projection of how things are going. And you know that it's going to be a time of struggle coming up. You know that there are people who want goodness, and there are other people who want their selfish needs taken care of. And they don't really care about other people, whether they're good or evil. They just want what they have. People are every different sort of way. And somehow, it's not always easy to love a person when they're evil. But somehow, we want that love. And what is love? Love is not a feeling, and love is not providing everything for them. Love is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ so that their eternal soul goes to heaven and not hell. When you think of hell and the terrible, terrible eternal place of hell fire, you don't want anyone to go to hell, not even people you don't like. And sure, we get tempted for saying something like that, especially early in life when we let our emotions get away. We can say, go to that really bad place. Do we mean it? Well, some of us might mean it. But when you think about what it would be like to be tormented by demons and having your flesh just burning and eternal thirst, no, you really wouldn't want to give that to people. So it's a matter of we present the goodness of Jesus Christ and heaven to people so that they are able to choose a heavenly future, an eternity in heaven and not hell. Now, we do that as best we know how, and somehow we have conversations that we can talk about, and maybe we can bring up something when we're having a conversation. Maybe it's about farming. Maybe it's about a truck. Maybe it's about children. But there are always ways to talk about heaven and Jesus Christ in all conversations. And that's something that we have to be smart about and figure out how to do it, because it's not always easy. But God gave us a brain, and God gave us emotions. And so we can use those emotions, guided by our brains, to speak to people who need to hear about Jesus Christ. And wouldn't that be wonderful if we could reach people and they could change from, let's say, a self-oriented or even an evil person to somebody who is loving and caring about others? Wouldn't that make the world a better place? Just think if we could do that regularly. Now, some people say you have to go to church to learn that. You have to go to Bible study. Well, all of those things help. Just like reading the Bible or talking to other Christians helps with that happening. But there are things that we can do on our own, and as we do things on our own, we live and we learn how to continue that conversation so that people will know Jesus and not have to suffer an eternity in hell. Well, that's kind of what we want. We want to do that, and we all do it in a different way, and we ask for God's guidance to guide and direct us so that we know how to speak and that they will listen to what we have to say. It's really like a God thing because we cannot do it on our own. Well, there's a lot we can do on our own, but to have that amazing spiritual, well, let's just call it a miracle. To have that, then it is something that is godly. Often enough, we have readings in the Bible that help us understand. I think of 2 Timothy 3:12. Where it says to live godly, well, we are an example to other people. And sometimes as we live godly, we will suffer persecution. And that's an example too. If you look at people in modern history who have suffered for Jesus, their story becomes known and talked about, and we say, wow, that's amazing. Look at what happened to somebody or other. It might have been Polycarp in Rome. It might have been Corrie ten Boom. It might have been Watchman Nee. And so there are people that really live the life, and we get to see them as an example right in front of us and say, yes, Lord, look at what we can do. It's wonderful. And so we do that. Now, there's people you've never heard about. And they are also examples. Oh, Leslie Millen was a missionary from Canada to China, and he tells about his experience in China. And he tells about the corruption that went on in Chiang Kai-shek, and then the communist regime after that, how they lied and took over the country, and some of it they did with great understanding until it was time for the transition. And then they had great violence, and they destroyed people and families and tradition. And that's something that we have to be aware of. Now, I started off having a little discussion about Eastern Germany or the Iron Curtain area and what happens under Marxism and communism. It is something for every one of us to be aware of about the movement, because we see things going on in this country, and the things are changing. Things are changing so that we have a less and less freedom and more of the practice of, well, it might be a tyranny, it might be a communist society, but that is the way things are going right now. And we get to see, what are we going to allow or support, or what are we going to try to change? It might be just by talking to people. It might be by having that conversation with the friends and family. How do we make a difference for anything? Or do we just sit back and let those people in authority do whatever they're going to do? And we say, yes, government, we will do what you say. Well, we all get conditioned to have the responses that we have. And we learn to say yes to the authority, because then things go smooth and easy. But you really have to ask if that is how you want your life to go. Now, it's not always an easy thing. You have to look and see truth and understanding for what you can understand about what those forces are trying to do to you and what they want to take away, which is basically your freedom and your prosperity. That's what they want. They don't care if you're free. They just want what you have, and they will steal it, whether it's the relative's farm and the grandparents' dishes, or the watch that your grandfather gave you. It doesn't matter. They want it, and they will take it. And it's something for each one of us to understand. Where do we stand for freedom? And freedom in the sense of the American Revolution. So many people don't even know what that is. So many people have not read the Constitution. So many people have not read the Bill of Rights. They don't know about money being only gold and silver, or what they call it is specie. That's the word in the original Constitution. Money shall only be specie. Now, nowadays, it's pieces of paper. And 50 years ago, those pieces of paper represented gold and silver. And you could take those banknotes into the bank and get gold and silver. But that's not the way it is anymore. Life has changed, and we have let it change in front of our eyes, and our republic is going in a downward trajectory. And we have to know where we stand with what we want, and what are we going to do to save our republic. You have to know it. And if you don't know it, the people who know a little more than you will, they will take steps to change your life and your government into a system that they want. And they will convince you of it, just like people all the time convince you of what to do for work or for what you need to do for your family. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to goodness and godliness? Or are you going to listen to the trouble in the world? Well, remember, you can always listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And there are several broadcasts that I did like. I especially like the December 16th one. And we all have different ideas about what we like. But I hope that you take an effort to read the good news of the gospel and then speak it to people with your wisdom and see what is coming in our country so that you can take preparedness steps for whatever is coming. Make wise decisions. Love God and love your neighbor. Learn the Bible. And God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.